Are you familiar with Isaac Asimov's Three Laws of Robotics? Well, if you were with us last time, you are. Welcome to episode 14 of What We Believe and Why with pastor, author, and teacher Dr. George Byron Koch. It's true. In the broader study of what obedience to God is all about and how we can make it more vibrant, George introduced us to the three laws of robotics. Now, if you missed that discussion, it is available on our website, as are all of the past programs. But right now, we're moving ahead to see what's in store for us today. Here's George.
Well, we've been looking at rule following and transcendence. And in the course of doing that, we took a little side trip here, and we're going to continue on it. We looked first at science fiction and Isaac Asimov's Three Laws of Robotics. Really interesting little study there about the inability to follow even precisely stated rules without trouble. And now I want to turn and look into science itself and a particular study of science which has really fascinated me for decades, artificial intelligence. I've followed the development of artificial intelligence, or AI, for decades. Now, this may sound like a strange direction to be moving in our study of what Christians believe and why, but I promise it bears fruit and it's going to be fun. Some years ago, AI took a turn toward the development of neural nets, meaning computers designed to emulate the human brain's ability to think, assess data, understand relationships, make choices, and so on. What an idea. Use the model the maker gave us if we want to make more intelligent machines. What this meant was that computers would be designed based on the way humans make decisions rather than following simple built-in rules. That is, they are designed to learn to make new decisions for circumstances they haven't encountered before. Asimov grasped the consequences of this decades before computer scientists began their work in AI or neural nets. If you want robots to be at all useful in our complex world, they have to be able to think for themselves to make decisions. But the moment they think for themselves and make choices, they have the option to disobey their creators. Does that sound familiar to anybody? In Genesis 2, Adam is given one rule for living in the Garden of Eden. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. One rule given, one rule violated. After the fall, the violation of the first rule, God gave additional rules to human beings. These rules were useful in the growing up of humans, in helping us understand right from wrong, as parents or teachers do with children. These rules include the Ten Commandments and another 603 rules throughout the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, a total of 613. The Pharisees also followed what is called the Oral Law, said to have also been given at Sinai by God, along with the Ten Commandments, and intended to help them follow the 613 rules in all manner of circumstances and with specific methods of application and interpretation, all to deal with the problem of the creatures, us, disobeying the Creator. The Oral Law was their means to fit God's desires for us to the practical and varying circumstances of everyday life. In that sense, it was not a rigid and unreasonable application of the rules, but a nuanced and careful effort to be wisely and humanely obedient. Jesus deeply understood that there was much more to human life than rigidly trying to apply rules to govern behavior. This is the key to who Jesus is and who we are called to be as his followers. At the beginning of this section, I expressed that I personally am fascinated with the fact that much of what has been discovered and understood by science in the last several centuries was long anticipated in Scripture. The ready disobedience of the creatures, us, is one of those facts. We're like the robots in Asimov's story that rebel and then rationalize the necessity for their disobedience. Those robots are how much like us. And just as we are portrayed in Scripture, written thousands of years ago. But it gets even more interesting. Just as computer science has begun to face some of these realities addressed long ago in Scripture, mathematics has also understood the limits of rules. I alluded to this briefly in a footnote back several chapters ago. It's fascinating. Mathematician Kurt Gödel, in 1931, published a paper titled On Formally Undecidable Propositions. It demonstrates that in well-defined logical systems or in any clearly stated set of rules, there will be some decisions or propositions that are undecidable, and that to decide them, one must go outside of the set of rules to a larger system or reality. Jesus anticipates this in his life and teachings. Listen first to what Paul says in Galatians 3 in describing the limits of the law and the coming of Jesus. Well then, why was the law given? It was given to show people how guilty they are. But this system of law was to last only until the coming of the child, Jesus, to whom God's promise was made. If the law could have given us new life, we could have been made right with God by obeying it. But the Scriptures have declared that we are all prisoners of sin. So the only way to receive God's promise is to believe in Jesus Christ. That is, we must rely on a reality outside of and greater than the one in which we are living. Again, while we exist within this set of moral, ethical, and religious rules, we cannot act, decide, or live in a purely loving way. The law is insufficient. Kurt Gödel realized in 1931 that no system of rules could answer every question it raised. Some 1900 years after Paul talked about this and Jesus declared our freedom, nearly 2000 years later, mathematics catches up with Jesus Christ. Paul, in explaining what Jesus teaches, is in effect saying that there must be the transcendent that comes from beyond the system and its rules, from the kingdom of God. It is that transcendence by which Jesus brought freedom of action, freedom finally to fulfill the purpose for which we were made. Until faith in Christ was shown to us as the way of becoming right with God, we were guarded by the law. We were kept in protective custody, so to speak, until we could put our faith in the coming Savior. But now that faith in Christ has come, we no longer need the law as our guardian. So you are all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Paul, again, from Galatians 3. In other words, Jesus makes it clear that following the rules is insufficient, and he takes us outside of the rules by the invasion of the kingdom of God into our physical kingdom. He takes us outside of the rules in order to know what is true and to help us know how to decide what to do, that is, how to love. We read this about Jesus in Matthew. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, they thought up a fresh question of their own to ask him. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question: "Teacher, what is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." Now, that sounds like a rule, albeit a really important one. But in fact, this command takes us out of the rules. It transcends them. It brings heaven to earth. It connects us to the creator of the box in which we live. The rules that we had inside the box, inside the system, are insufficient, incomplete. Jesus says it, Scripture says it, Gödel the mathematician says it, and scientists and even artists realize it. Jesus, in the first commandment, takes us outside of the box. Love God. Why? Because God is not confined to the box. God made the box. Then the second is like unto it, and this is how the transcendent moves into the world we occupy. Love your neighbor as yourself. The transcendent love of God pours through us into the world we occupy. Simple obedience to the rules, which by themselves cannot work, is insufficient to the task, even when they rest on moral and ethical behavior. God's concern is always about love, always about loving relationships, always about building up and not harming. He seeks holiness from us, for he is holy. That holiness is his nature, and it requires love from us. But his concern is not about the mere fulfillment of ritual obligations or the following of the law. It is about love.
Thanks, George. Obeying rules, so simple. Obeying God, so much richer. I hope you're getting the sense of the freedom that is being spoken about here. And we'll continue that discussion in just a moment. Stay with us.